No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi-compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Wednesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on early break. Third hour, sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
The Co.
Now hiring at Ready Mix Concrete. Apply today at NEBCOinc.com. Again, thanks again to Governor Pillen for coming in for
over an hour.
Just over an hour.
It was great.
God, he can talk sports.
He was on his screws today. He was always on his screws.
We got a lot of better times.
Oh, that's what I was just going to say.
The better time stuff, him talking about what it was like playing in the 70s, Mushroom Gardens, was like playing for Coach Osborne.
We could have him on weekly and just say, this is the governor, and he's going to talk about better times.
That's it.
Better times with the governor.
We won't even...
Ooh, that's the title of the segment. Better times with the governor.
Just talk 70s. That's it.
We didn't even talk music with him.
No, we didn't get a chance to talk music.
I bet you Governor Pillen could talk music at a high level.
Oh, it'd be a high, high level.
70s music, Jake.
He rides in on his horse.
Your eyes would glaze over.
No, I love it. I play a lot of 70s music. I like 70s music.
I know you too.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine what it would be like talking music with. We even get to it.
No,
we
talk next
about,
time.
Governor, if you're listening, we're talking about music next time.
Next time. Text into the show. Give us one of your favorite bands.
ELO.
We're joined by Husker Alliance Sean Callahan. Sean, before we get to fall practice, I'm curious, are you aware of the Mushroom Gardens, what they were at UNL, Sean?
Gosh, are they in the library?
No. Yeah. You hit him with the hard one.
I'm just off the bat. We talked about it with the governor.
Wait, no, the stack. I was thinking of the stacks. I'm sorry. I know I've heard of them, yes, but refresh my memory, please.
Mushroom Gardens is where the team in the 67, whatever years it was, 60s, 70s, shoot all the way into the 80s. That's where they trained at. It was a kidney-shaped track that was dirt, half dirt, half cinder, and it was underneath the – you had to walk down the steps into the East Stadium is where it was at, and there was a pillars in there, and they would run around. It'd get so dusty you couldn't see across the track. But that's what they used to do, spring conditioning.
Better times.
Winter conditioning.
As you would say, better times. Oh. As now they work out in a Ritz-Carlton.
Exactly.
It's different now.
They do. Your dad would have been down there, though, Sean.
He would. Now, my dad talked about the Schulte Fieldhouse, obviously, and the stick fighting that they would do back in the day when you would have the linemen basically wrestle over a stick.
Yeah, combative drills.
Combative drills with a stick.
Better times.
That sounds like fun, actually. Okay, Sean.
Sean, you were at the practice on Saturday, the 2.5-hour practice for the 1890, which was nice for them to allow us to be in the stadium. I'm curious. We didn't see Dane Key that day. He did not practice. He practiced yesterday, it sounds like. But when you saw the receiving room besides him, what did you think about that unit, Sean?
Well, I mean, you can just kind of see what they've invested in, what they've added. I mean, Ja'Cory Barney obviously had a big year last year, and he's going to be better this year. But Isaiah Hunter and Cortez Mills, those two players look like immediate guys that are going to help them. And then Quinn Clark and Keelan Smith are two guys they've developed within the program. So it was an impressive group, and we always forget Jahniren Bonner, but I do think he's got a role on this team, this offense. Yeah. And yeah, you're right, Dane Key wasn't out there. So I think they've invested in this receiver group to give Dylan Raiola and Dane Holgorsen what they need to really make this offense go at the level it needs to go at for this season to be successful.
Okay, I'm just going to hit you with one, Sean. Is there any concern of yours right now that the offense is ahead of the defense by maybe too far of a margin?
It's really dangerous to say that when they haven't really scrimmaged yet.
Good point. That's a good point.
And, you know, they haven't had any, like, live-to-the-ground tackling.
Good point.
So it's hard to judge the defense when they're limited in how they can finish a play, and they can only, like, touch and thud, and they're really careful, you know, what they do near the quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, I would think right now just what the offense has with that veteran offensive line, the veteran receivers, a returning starter at quarterback, a returning starter at running back, they have more experience than what the defense has, especially on the front defensive line as far as starts coming back. But the back seven of the defense is experienced. I mean, those linebackers have played a lot of football. Those secondary guys have started and play a lot of football. So it really, to me, is just the defensive line is the one group that they're trying to break in. A lot of guys who have not started at the Big Ten level.
Yeah, that was a veteran answer to sort of a rookie question. Thank you, Sean. Okay, so you heard John Butler yesterday at the podium. John Butler's the defensive coordinator, asked about Williams-Wanneri. What is your feel for Williams-Wanneri, the high price transfer from Missouri? What should we expect from him? Is it too early to tell, or do you have an expectation?
Well, I look at him as a long-term play.
Okay.
This is not a one-and-done ideal transfer thing where, like, all right, we got this guy here for 1 year. Let's maximize it like a Trey Palmer. You know, you've got him for 4 years, technically, and obviously redshirted at Missouri. But, you know, what I envision for him is almost kind of like more probably like a James Williams type role where there are passing situations, they're going to bring him in and rush the quarterback and you know, be a guy that can get to you. Because I do think when he pins his ears back at a high level, he's going to be really good. But it's the rest of the things that he's obviously probably still trying to learn and understand as far as what it takes to play at this level. Because, you know, if he was good enough last year, he would have played more at Missouri, but they redshirted him last year. And I know the role. John Butler was, you know, didn't beat around the bush. He's going to play a role for us. I mean, the reporter kind of phrased the question kind of like, you know, almost like, yeah, it kind of sounds like he's a ways out, or is he going to play? And he's like, oh, he'll play for us. I mean, he made that clear right away that they're going to play him. I think it's a matter of what kind of role they carve out for him now.
Well, this is sort of a loaded question, not even a question, but do you understand the complication in people's minds when you say, I look at Williams-Wanneri as a long-term play because the complicator being the money now involved, that you're paying a lot of money for a long-term play? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think you're right. But do you understand the complication?
It is complication, but you have them for 4 years. So that's what I mean. This is not a one-year transfer by tech. I mean, but we can revisit that at the end of the year, I guess, and mm-hmm. see where it's at. But this is somebody you could have for 3 or 4 years in the program. And I think that's what makes this Williams-Wanneri addition different compared to a lot of high-priced transfers you end up bringing into your program.
Sean, we had a look at the running backs on Saturday, and, you know, Emmett Johnson, of course, running back, the first running back, but Mekhi Nelson was the one to get the second reps. I mean, how important is he going to be to this team this year if he is indeed the second running back for the Huskers?
Well, he looks explosive. He's got some good wiggle and move to him. Looks like a guy that's a good receiving back, too. And, you know, I thought in the 11-on-11, he got in the first play and popped it for a big gain. You know, I think last year we forget how late he got to Lincoln, too. He didn't really arrive to Lincoln until July. So he didn't really have a full off season. They just kind of threw him in, and he joined the team at camp. And I think it makes sense that he's come on now. Being in Lincoln for 13, 14 months, you've started to see him really get more comfortable and grow. And the opportunity is there, too. I mean, there's an opportunity there for two other backs probably besides Emmett Johnson, and it looks like he's going to be one of them. Probably Isaiah Mosey could potentially be the third one.
Sean, you have some how do you size up the backup, we'll call it the competition for the number two quarterback spot? What were your takeaways in that regard from the open practice on Saturday, which you saw?
Well, I think Jalen Gramstad has the leg up just in the knowledge, the understanding, being a veteran that's played a lot of college football at Northwestern and been around it here now two seasons, going into a second season. But long term on this roster, you can see TJ Lateef and what he could be. And, you know, he surprised me how poised he looked this early on. He got here for the bowl game. I mean, remember, we were in New York. He was at practice at Fordham that day when we were out there. So, you know, he's been here a while and learned to develop. He came from a very high level of football, the highest level in California.
Okay.
So I do think he is further along. I would peg him as the third over Davila. And I would say right now, I mean, you know, he's closed the gap more on that two job than maybe we thought going into the year. I mean, it felt like, oh, there's going to be no one that's going to make it interesting, but I do think he could make it interesting where he is a guy that has a lot of potential.
Sean, regarding the tight end room, you know, Mac Markway out for the year, of course, with the knee injury, but we saw Luke Lindenmeyer, we saw Heinrich Harburg, we saw Carter Nelson look pretty solid on Saturday. I mean, do you feel okay about that group without Mac Markway?
Yeah, we never really saw Mac Markway. That's the thing. It's like Dennis Holgorsen said. he literally practiced like a day or two last year, and he got hurt. And he practiced one day here, and he got hurt. So he's practiced less than five times as a Nebraska Cornhusker. He's never played in a game. So it's hard to really know what was realistic. But he was a veteran that played for LSU. You can't deny what he did as a freshman there. But unfortunately, Nebraska's never been able to get that version of Mac Markway. It is kind of concerning, I think, when you look at that tight end position, knowing that you've got a converted quarterback, you've got a converted wide receiver in Carter Nelson, Harburg and Nelson, and now you know, you're trying to kind of figure out what it's going to all look like. Obviously, Lindenmeyer is going to be the steady piece in that group. But how do you kind of mix in Harburg and how do you mix in Carter Nelson of those guys?
Okay, Sean.
Major storms coming through, boys.
Is that what that is?
I don't know what is causing the feedback. It's driving me crazy, though.
Could be the alert. Could be the storm, Jake. Look at it out there.
It is downpouring. It is downpouring outside. Go ahead, Sam.
It could be the storm. We talk a lot. We you know, Sean, I notice in this camp we're talking a lot about offense. I want to shift to defense, back to defense. A simple question. What is the strength of this defense as you see it right now?
I would say the strength is the potential versatility of the different parts they have.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I think there's lots of guys that can rush the passer and do different things in different ways. And I would say that's the strength right now when you look at just what this defense could be under John Butler. I don't think it's like locking to like certain parts. I think there's ways to mix and match the parts, and that will be what John Butler, what Phil Snow and that crew are going to have to put together. It's all the different parts and things that they have to do.
How big do you think Snow is in this conversation, Phil Snow?
I think he'll be pretty big in just his knowledge. I mean, I was on another show this morning, and I said, look, this is the guy that was calling defenses against Charlie McBride. I mean, he's been around the block. He understands the game, both from a high college level and a high pro level, as does John Butler. So I just think having two of those guys working collaboratively is going to go a long way in kind of building this unit. I mean, they got to get better at third down, though. I mean, that was kind of their Achilles heel.
Yes.
They just didn't have the right things going for them on some key third and downs where they played outstanding on first and second down. And then on a situation where they were supposed to get off the field on third and long, they weren't able to get off the field.
Yeah, and I think that was a tipping point. I mean, how many times would you sit up in the press box, it'd be third and seven, and you'd be, got to get off the field, and they didn't. They didn't. Jake?
We're having some feedback.
What did you do, Sipple?
I don't know what's happening to the headsets, but Sean, we're going to let you go because we got to figure this out. Sean Callahan, sorry to cut you short, but well, we got some headset issues there.
Appreciate it, guys. So you guys can figure out what's going on in that place.
We will. All
right, God bless
you. Sean Callahan, Husker Online. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if it's an issue with phone call. I don't know. Don't know what's happening.
Huh.
Yeah, not good. All right, we're going to go to break and try to fix this during the break. This is horrible. So we'll be back. When we come back, we'll try to do Bill's Thrills next.
Give it a shot.
On early break in the ticket.